Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Voters will find a crowded Missouri primary ballot next Tuesday in part because of five proposed constitutional amendments. They deal with myriad issues, including farming and gun rights, funding veteran services, and protecting privacy on electronic devices. We'll deal with those in just a couple of moments. But first, the proposed amendment headliner, Amendment 7, asks voters' approval for a temporary 3/4-cent sales tax increase dedicated to funding Missouri transportation projects. It's controversial, called unfair on one hand, vitally necessary on the other. Joining me to discuss Amendment 7, Jewel Paddock, a proponent, deputy treasurer of Missourians for Better Transportation and Jobs. He's a former Republican representative from Chillicothe. Tom Shrout is the treasurer for Missourians for Better Transportation Solutions, an opponent. He is the former executive director of Citizens for Modern Transit. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
I guess we can start by stipulating that neither one of you is going to disagree on the need that we have here in the state of Missouri, that road transportation projects do need to be improved. Jewel?
Well, I think that's a point we can agree on, at least around the state. Everywhere I go, folks agree that we have a vast transportation system. We have 2,000 bridges in a state of disrepair that need to be repaired or replaced. And beyond our typical road and bridge projects, we've got a number of needs, including transit, bike and ped needs, ports and airports, all of which, you know, as the Department of Transportation in the state of Missouri has a responsibility to ensure are adequate to meet the needs of the state of Missouri, but most of which don't get any state funding to meet those needs. So,
Tom Shrout, you stipulate that the need is there?
Well, I think the need is extent of the need, perhaps, that we might have a slight disagreement on. I mean, who's against unsafe or for unsafe bridges? I mean, sure, things need to be repaired and kept in the state of good repair. We might disagree on some projects. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, for instance, says that Missouri has the sixth best highway network in the country, and that would seem to indicate that things are in pretty good shape.
Well, does it indicate that, or does it simply indicate that the extent of the roads that we have and basically how well they're kept?
Well, I guess it would indicate that compared to other states, we're in pretty good condition. And I think the funding of this measure is what we disagree most upon. And that's something I hope we can have a chance to discuss.
Well, let's do that right now. And Jewel, I'll come back to you with regard to the funding. There are a lot of people think that this is the real problem, because perhaps it should be a user tax of some sort as opposed to a sales tax affecting non-users and the poor.
Yeah, so across the country, we've seen this gradual transition from a user fee system, one that's largely reliant on fuel taxes to fund our transportation system for a couple of reasons. One, fuel taxes are a declining revenue source. Everyone that drives are driving more fuel efficient vehicles, and that's whether you're driving a car, motorcycle, truck, all of which are getting a lot better gas mileage. Also, gas prices are going up, so people buy less of it because they're price sensitive. So they when the price of a gallon of gas goes to $3.50 or $4, we end up buying more. So while our transportation needs are increasing, the revenue we're getting from gas taxes are on the decline. Additionally, people recognize that we have a transportation system that doesn't stop at the curb anymore, and so we need other modes of transportation to connect into our transportation system. And you can't fund other modes, either in Missouri or, frankly, anywhere in the country with fuel taxes. So if you want a modern transit system, if you want good bike ped infrastructure, if you want to meet the needs of tying those different components of transportation together, you almost exclusively use sales tax to meet those needs.
Tom, your argument against that?
Well, I would say in 1992, the last time the legislature voted to increase the motor fuel tax, I went down there as a naive lobbyist and said, what about 1 cent for transit? At that time, we needed money to work on Metrolink. And I was told at that point, you know, that's highway money. The gas tax is highway money. What we will do is we will give you the opportunity to raise the sales tax in St. Louis City and St. Louis County to fund transit needs. And so that's what we did. In the last 22 years, on two occasions, we've raised the sales tax in St. Louis City and St. Louis County to fund transit. And now the highway people are saying, well, you've done so well at that, we want to get into your pile, a pot of money. And I don't think that's particularly fair because we've made the local commitment to do what we need to do for transit. We've also done it with bike and ped, small tax increases to do bike trails, Great Rivers Greenway. We've helped fund that locally. The arch cover over Highway 40, or Highway 70 down at the arch, we funded that locally. So I don't see sending our sales tax money to Jefferson City and getting part of it back to fund transit and bike and ped needs. We're doing it locally, and I think we're doing it very well. They're also doing it in Kansas City, St. Joe. So
there's your case for that.
Yeah.
Jewel?
Well, I just frankly disagree that you're meeting those needs very well. As you look at our list of endorsers, they're not just traditional road and bridge folks. They're groups like Citizens for Modern Transit, Missouri Public Transit Association, Missouri Bike Federation, all of which acknowledge that they've got more needs than they can meet at locally funded sources. So they're all going to Jefferson City. They're all asking for a solution that goes beyond what's happening on the local level. And if you look at the project list, you see extensive needs that aren't being met, whether it's bus rapid transit, local downtown transit needs, complete streets within the city of St. Louis, all of which are projects that aren't currently being funded that need new funding source. I think the genius of Amendment 7 is it brings Missouri together. It brings a new vision for Missouri and how we provide transportation to our citizens rather than saying, oh, you guys go do what you want to do in outstate and we'll do what we want to do in St. Louis. That's not a statewide transportation system where you have regional pockets of some needs being met and some not being met. A real vision for Missouri is how do we integrate our transportation system and make sure all needs are being met.
Well, the argument that I hear most often doesn't call it a genius solution. It calls it an unfair solution. Basically pointing, and you've heard this many times, I'm sure Tom will make the case, that poor people are overly affected by this. People who don't drive and that they sales tax is regressive, particularly for people in that category.
Well, gas tax is far more regressive than sales tax, so let's begin there. If you fuel up at the pump, regardless of how much you pay, they don't give you a lower cost if you make less. So if you put the burden on gas taxes, you're going to pay more as a lower-income individual in the state than you are if you're paying a sales tax. The 3/4-cent sales tax in Missouri would exempt the necessities of life. If you're meeting the daily needs, your paycheck to paycheck, the things like groceries, your rent, your utilities, your prescription drugs are all exempted from it. When you go to the grocery store in your car and you don't have very much money, you're going to have to fuel up your vehicle and your gas, you're going to pay gas taxes, you're going to have to the price of the consumer goods that got there with gas taxes are going to drive the cost up. So the regressivity is a nice argument, but it falls flat when you compare it to how regressive the gas tax is by comparison.
Tom Shrout, you buy that?
Well, right here, Don, is a cup of Starbucks that was purchased this morning at Maryland and Euclid in the Central West End. My wife and I walked from our home to purchase that cup of coffee through Forest Park and walked home. We paid over 11% sales tax on that cup of coffee, and this would take it to almost 12%. I didn't use the roads to get there, and yet what Jewel is proposing is through the sales tax that people who walk, and a lot of poor people in St. Louis use public transit, don't own cars, they should pay as much as someone driving an SUV and driving 20,000 miles a year to support the roads. And that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, another thing we hear, we've heard talk about toll roads as being a potential solution to this, and putting a tax on out-of-state truckers who do a lot of damage to highways. Your thoughts on that?
Well, 50% of the truck traffic that comes through Missouri, doesn't originate in Missouri and doesn't terminate in Missouri. So they're just passing through. If there were a way to tax those trucks, I think that would help relieve the burden upon Missouri taxpayers who provide those roads. I mean, in other words, through this proposal with a sales tax to support the widening of Interstate 70 is an example. Something manufactured in Columbus, Ohio, and delivered to Denver, Colorado, we would be subsidizing, Missouri taxpayers would be subsidizing the manufacturer in Columbus and the consumer in Denver. And to me, that doesn't make sense. We ought to be another way.
Jewel, you've heard this argument before.
I have.
Yeah. And?
Well, it's a federal interstate, first of all, and so we pay for a lot of the work on I-70 with federal dollars, which come from all people across the country. But the fact of the matter is, if you try to solve the transportation problem with this huge tax hike on trucks, you end up hurting consumers a lot more. So we only get $6.1 million annually for 1 cent increase per gallon of gas on diesel fuel. And, of course, a lot of people besides people who drive big trucks pay diesel fuel, our farmers, our construction workers, and others. But just say you want to raise, say, $480 million annually, you'd have to raise the fuel cost on diesel fuel to 90 cents a gallon. Mm-hmm. I promise you that the cost of your goods in the store, whether it's that cup of coffee, whether it's your groceries, whether it's a lamp you buy at a big store, are all going to go up. Consumers will pay those costs no matter what. You can't put a higher cost on transporting items to the store and assume that the cost is going to stay the same or go down.
Yeah. You know, given the current squabble with the Highway Trust Fund in Washington these days, it's still unresolved. 700,000 jobs could be affected by all of that. Does that come into play at all in this discussion here in Missouri?
Well, I think it tells us in Missouri that if we want a better transportation system, we can't rely on the federal government to do it for us. And Missouri is well suited in the middle of the country. I think our two largest cities and frankly, our whole state benefit from that, and we benefit from that because we do have a good transportation system to the extent we're taking care of the priorities. And right now we aren't taking care of the priorities. You can't tell me that our system is good when we've got 2,000 bridges in the state right now today as we sit here that need to be repaired or replaced. We've got 20,000 miles of roads, and they're not just miles of road where I live. They're in St. Charles and Franklin County, St. Louis County, that don't have adequate shoulders. Those are the kind of measures it takes that keep people alive. And Missouri, you know, while we've reduced our fatalities in our state, we're still leading above the national average with over 700 Missourians dying last year on our roads and highways. And to me, that's regrettable. When we have a solution, we can fix that problem and reduce fatalities, make people safer, and improve our economy at the same time.
But we can't blame the roads and the highways for those deaths necessarily.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We know for a fact that when we put guard cables in the middle of I-70, we save 200 lives every year since we've done that. We can absolutely blame poor road conditions for not saving lives. So we know the things that, you know, right now people are dying. There will be someone that dies in Missouri in this week from a crossover on a road where they dipped off the shoulder on one side. Well, there wasn't a shoulder, and they overcorrected and went across on the other side. If there had been a shoulder, they'd be alive today. We have lots of those kind of improvements. They cost money, and we need to make them to make Missouri safer.
Tom?
Well, I think the major cause of highway deaths is behavior on the part of the driver, whether they're distracted, texting while driving, drunk while driving, in the case of truckers, fatigue. Those are things that could be addressed to save lives. Another thing that could be addressed to save lives is to make our systems of buses, planes, and trains more robust, and that way people would be traveling on safer modes of transportation than driving in an automobile. The other thing we could do is we could develop a strategy whereby people don't need to drive as much. You know, that's how we develop our communities, you know. You and I don't drive as much because we can walk places to get to go to the grocery store, for example. I can. And so that reduces the amount of automobile trips that I take. And I think more people are more interested in that kind of environment, and that should be part of our strategy.
I have to take a break, but in all fairness, I have to point out that we're talking about walking trails and bike trails as well, which accomplishes in part what you're talking about.
Yeah, but In this measure, I think it's roughly 85% of the money is going to highways. It's not a significant amount for other modes.
Let me take that break now. We'll come back and continue our conversation. We're talking about Amendment 7, which is on the ballot on Tuesday. That's the sales tax to fund transportation projects. With me in studio are Jewel Paddock, a proponent. He is a deputy treasurer of Missourians for Better Transportation and Jobs. You just heard from Tom Shrout, treasurer for Missourians for Better Transportation Solutions. He is an opponent to this proposed constitutional amendment. We want to get your input as well in the limited time that we have. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Or if you'd like to send us a tweet, do so at STL on air. Back in just a moment, this is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation on the merits and demerits of the proposed Amendment 7, which is going to be on the ballot in the Missouri primary next Tuesday. But before we continue that conversation, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Two top Missouri Republicans came to Kirkwood today to try and convince voters to approve Amendment 1 at the polls next Tuesday. The so-called Right to Farm constitutional amendment would limit regulations on farming and ranching in the state. Opponents of the ballot initiative say it's a smokescreen designed to benefit large corporations that engage in large-scale farming and animal-producing operations. We'll be talking about that proposed amendment a little later in the program. And the Missouri Province Jesuits today consolidated with the New Orleans Jesuit Province to form a new entity. It's part of a larger effort to reconfigure the U.S. Jesuit provinces, reducing the number by more than half. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on 90.7 KWMU and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. I want to go right to the phones, gentlemen. We have a number of people who are interested in talking about this subject. With me in studio, as I've indicated, Jewel Paddock is a proponent of Amendment 7. Tom Shrout is an opponent. Let's go right to the phones with Randy starting us off. He's in St. Louis. Go ahead, Randy.
Hi. Thank you, guys. There are so many fundamental flaws with this amendment that I don't even know where to begin, but I did want to just establish one fact that Kansas City and St. Louis both rank numbers 1 and 2, respectively, in the number of highway miles per capita in the United States for major metro areas, which it just is counterintuitive that we're going to be sinking an unprecedented amount of money into expanding roads and highways in two metro areas that are already overserved. Number two, I feel like it's an insult to our urban sensibilities that only less than 6% of the funds generated from Amendment 7 would benefit transit development in the state's largest and most urban metropolitan area. I just think that is just a tiny pittance that we should all feel rather insulted about. Third, I'm a small business owner in the city of St. Louis. I'm already paying an exorbitant amount of sales tax. Our customers are. And this would be just another layer that would push us into the top tier of sales tax cities in the United States, ahead of New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, and many others that are notoriously high in sales taxes. And the benefit is just not a net gain for small business in the city of St. Louis and in the St. Louis metro area, at least. And I just want to make also a point that just this represents so many misguided priorities in Missouri politics. I mean, the state legislature just approved a drastic income tax decrease for the wealthiest citizens, yet we're going to raise sales tax, which is going to impose an undue burden on the lowest earners in our state. And I just think it's just ridiculous, the kind of backwards, that we have some of the lowest gas taxes in the country that haven't been raised since 1993.
Randy, we have the point, or points, I should say. Thank you so much for the call. Jewel Paddock, I don't think Randy's going to be voting for Amendment 7 on Tuesday.
Well, I'm hopeful Randy will be out of town on Tuesday, actually. But I appreciate his comments. You know, we have to build it. We have to keep up our transportation system. And there's nothing in this measure. There's no new roads in this measure. We're taking care of our current infrastructure, one that's woefully inadequate. We've got the 7th largest system in the country, and we've got the 45th lowest funding for it. So if we're going to meet the upkeep of our current system, we've got to do something. We also have to prepare for the future. And I think that transit component And I don't want to sit here and dispute his numbers, but I can tell you that the organizations that are out there advocating for the citizens who ride those transit measures, they're supporting this. They believe that this is the way Missouri is going to move forward to provide a better transit system for our state. Both the organizations here in St. Louis, but also in Kansas City, there'll be the single largest commitment of state funds to transit in this effort than I could have ever imagined. So I think this is a great start. The beauty of it, it's also, it gives us 10 years to prepare for the next 10 years. And I think we, in the studies that will be done in this 10 years, we'll be able to grow and expand the transit options for Missouri citizens in our two urban areas even further.
Tom Shroud, I don't imagine as much that Randy said that you're in disagreement with.
Well, I was thinking about he should be here and I should be out doing something else. The one thing about this measure people need to understand, and Jewel said it, there are studies for transit in this measure. There's no new Metrolink expansion in this measure. Should there have been a Metrolink expansion in this, you know, I might be here advocating for it, but it's not. And basically what it does, it competes with what we're able to do locally with the sales tax that might lead to an expansion of Metrolink through a local and federal effort, but there's nothing in this that expands Metrolink.
Well, I just want to take some disagreement with that. There's obviously money for Metrolink in here. There's a new stop on Metrolink. There's studies to expand it. And if you wanted to build a new line today, there's no study to tell you what line to build. So you've got to do the study before you build it. And I don't want to speak for the local organizations, but I don't think there's any agreement about what line you'd build today, even if you had a magic wand to do so. That's got to be your first step, and that's a state commitment to build a future metro line in St. Louis area. That's not a local commitment, so I think that's an important distinction.
Go ahead, Tom.
There's two studies that were done probably 8 or 9 years ago. One, a north side, south side Metrolink extension that would go from North County to South County through downtown. The second is called the Daniel Boone extension. East-West Gateway did that study. Basically, it would go from Clayton to Westport, up 170 and west along Page Avenue. So there have been studies, and, you know, let's get moving. Let's get moving on this.
Joel, how much of this money, I should point out, I think we've mentioned that it's going to produce about $5.5 billion over 10 years, something like that. How much of what percentage of that is earmarked for things like, you know, mass transit and for the bike paths and the
others? Sure. Well, no money was allocated, earmarked in the measure. So it was distributed to local regions. In this region, the East-West Gateway, worked with community leaders and citizens who took the time to get involved in that process and came up with a priority list. So the regional priority list is reflective of the regional priorities. So to the extent, you know, if you look at the city, let's talk about the city of St. Louis for a moment. I mean, the significant improvements to bike ped, to some of the road and bridges, and to transit in the city is phenomenal. I think it's going to transform the downtown and the city, and I think that's a step in the right direction. And I don't know what Tom would have done more in the city with these funds, but I can't imagine there's much left to be done with the kind of commitment that's put forward in this measure.
Tom,
$25 million is earmarked in Amendment 7, not earmarked but selected, if you will, for a downtown streetcar. Now, that's a project that interests me, but the total cost of that project's around $275 million. There's no local funding source in place yet. I mean, there's the dream of the Partnership for Downtown St. Louis that they'll create something called a Transportation Improvement District along the corridor that could help fund it, but that's not in place. There hasn't been a local vote on that. And the only thing that's been done on that project is the feasibility study. The ability to pull all this together in the next 10 years is very hard, because I've been involved in these projects, and it takes a long time to get a rail project up and going.
Let's bring in Gabriel. He's calling from South Grand neighborhood. Gabriel, you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Go ahead.
Hi. A couple points. One is, and this was just brought up with what you were saying, which is of what percentage of the money that you expect to be drawn by these by the sales tax increase is going to come from the metropolitan area as opposed to how much is going to come back. But much more to my heart is why is this a single tone taxation bill seeking to have a magic bullet only sales tax taxation when it could have had a more nuanced approach? And why does it block the exploration of nuanced approaches for the entire length of it, blocking gas tax or tolls or other sort of usage taxes during the 10 years? It seems that you'd want to leave yourself open to be nimble in deciding legislative priorities in the future.
All right. Thanks for the call. Do you want to take that, Jim?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Let me start with the second point first. The second point is, you know, why didn't we put several taxes into one? And frankly, Missourians resoundingly turned that option down in 2002. It was called Prop B, and it was voted down 3-1. It was largely a fuel tax measure, but also had a little bit of other taxation methods in it, and Missourians voted down 3-1. So, you know, it's not 2002 anymore, but I can tell you that putting multiple taxes into one measure is a pretty bad political move if you're going to try to win a campaign. Secondly, the city of St. Louis, the region here, contributes roughly, based on Department of Revenue's figures, 35% of the sales tax that generated. And, you know, when I'm here today, I'll leave some sales tax. That's not all from city and county residents, but that obviously is the amount that's collected here. And of the money that gets distributed to the regions, 34.6% comes back to the St. Louis. So, you know, might be giving up about a 1% of what you collect, but that's a pretty fair distribution of the funds.
Right. Tom, no comment. Yeah. Let me come back to you then, Jewel, with regard to the temporary nature of this.
Sure.
Thing. So it's set to expire in 10 years. What guarantee does the public have that, in fact, it is going to be, that it will be allowed to expire and not just extended?
Well, that's in the Constitution. So every 10 years it has to come up for a vote. And if it gets turned down, it goes away. So I think that's a crucial component of this measure to ensure that both the money stays going for transportation. It can't be diverted by the legislature. And secondly, that every 10 years voters get to reapprove it. I was, you know, in parts of the state that felt that in 1992, the last time that anyone did increase funding for transportation, much of that funding didn't go for the projects that were promised. That's why there's a project list. That's why there's going to be timetables. And that's why every 10 years, Missourians will measure whether MoDOT did what they promised to do or where they didn't.
Tom, what happens if this doesn't pass?
Well, I think we've begun something that's very crucial, and that is we're discussing and we're getting the kind of public visibility and education, if you will, about this issue. We just, I don't believe we've come to an agreement as a citizenry about what we ought to be doing to solve our transportation needs. And, you know, I remember in 2008 talking to Bill McKenna about this and saying, you know what really needs to happen is, because of the polling that shows people adverse to tolls and fuel taxes, we need a public education and outreach program that's really robust. It's just not going to a high school gym and standing next to a board and that has some information on it. It really needs to be public outreach. And I think we're doing a little bit of this right now. And if it does fail, I think both sides will be able to come together and continue the conversation and see what happens next.
Jewel, what happens if it fails?
Well, our transportation system is going to get worse. We will continue to have unsafe roads and bridges in our state, and that is going to lead to larger amounts of fatalities. And we're still going to miss out on opportunities economically. The kind of opportunities that changing the landscape in the city and the county are providing by these transit options that will be available that won't be if Amendment 7 fails. We're going to lose business opportunities there. We're going to lose business opportunities and job creation when we don't have a transportation system that employers are looking for. Amendment 7 failure will hurt our state, both in economics and in cost of lives.
But in terms of finding alternative funding, do you have any sense of where we could go? I mean, we've got callers here talking about toll roads, which I mentioned before, and we've mentioned some of the other possibilities.
Well, let's talk about toll roads. Missouri really only has one toll road option. It's I-70. And so if you magically come up with a toll road solution, and don't forget, we've been debating it for 10 years in Missouri, and it still hasn't even made it to the ballot, let alone come to fruition. And we're agnostic. We want a solution that actually works. And if you get a toll road on I-70, you still have 34,000 miles of roads to fix. So it does, one toll road in Missouri is not going to solve our infrastructure needs, and it's certainly not going to meet our transit needs, and it's certainly not going to meet our other multi-mode needs in the state of Missouri.
And Tom, what would your option be?
Well, my question is, and I don't know the answer, maybe you do, is a toll road a tax? Maybe it's like tuition. You know, we don't vote when the University of Missouri wants to raise tuition because it's essentially a user fee. Perhaps MoDOT could start assessing tolls without a vote of the people.
Well, let me make it clear. I'm not proposing a toll road, but a lot of people are suggesting that. Okay, we'll wrap this up. Our time is getting away from us. Jewel, we started with you, so I'm going to give Tom the last word.
Thank you. Just
give us a quick wrap to this whole thing. Jewel, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, first of all, we've been working at this trying to seek consensus since 2008. We've been going around the state to meet with citizens about what their priorities in transportation are and what the solution is. We think we've done a good job at educating the public about the needs, and I think I think even our opponents agree that the scope of our needs are great in Missouri, both in terms of roads and bridges, but also in our transit communities and in other modes of transportation where we have a lot more needs than we have funding available. Amendment 7 is the only funding option that can meet both our traditional roads and bridges and our future transit solution that we all want for Missouri, one that ties our state together, makes us safer, and builds our economy the way we want it to.
All right, Tom, final word?
Well, I think this is the wrong funding mechanism when you have a sales tax where big trucks don't pay. I think that's wrong and unfair. I think we need to go back and talk to citizens, continue the conversation with citizens around the state and how we address our needs. And I think we're not against transportation. We're about getting it right.
The next step, of course, is on Tuesday when citizens throughout Missouri will be voting on Amendment 7. Tom Shrout, thank you so much for being with us. And Jewel Paddock, good to see you.
Thank you.
You're going back to Chillicothe today?
Well, I live in Jefferson City now.
Oh, you okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us and making your case for Amendment 7. We'll be back in just a moment. Look at the other four proposed amendments on the Tuesday ballot with St. Louis Public Radio reporters Chris McDaniel and Marshall Griffin. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU.